This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Pedlin Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It is December 27th, 2017. It's the end of the year. How about that?
Well, it is.
It is. Welcome to Bicycle Talk, this week with my co-host, Fran Storch.
Hi.
A show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, please call or text right now at 860-486-9487, or you can email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can also visit Bicycle Talk on Facebook. If you're listening to this on podcast, then you can simply contact me through the Facebook page or also the bicycletalk1@gmail.com. If you would like to contribute to the show or be a guest on the show, please contact me once again at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. So we have a whole year here ahead of us, and or behind us, I should say, and then another year to come. So we're going to make this our end of the year special, and our we're going to recap some of the things that we talked about throughout the year. But I do have some current items which need to be dealt with. First, starting out with Ron's Rant of the Week. This is published up on Facebook. If you wish to make a comment, you can make a comment on the Bicycle Talk Facebook page. And my Rant of the Week is people who are highly critical about cyclists without taking a quote-unquote walk in our shoes, or shall we say, a ride on our bike. So there's a number of people out there that I hear this you people thing, you cyclists, you people on bikes, you do this, you do that. And you know, it's old. All right. I'm just going to say it. It's old. I don't like to hear it anymore. I don't need to hear it anymore. Why don't you go out and ride your bike and check it out, see what it's like to be on our shoes. And you know, maybe you'll have a different idea and different attitude. I know that most of the people that I get turned on to cycling, if they have not been there before, they just come back with a much more enlightened view of what it's like to be out on the bike. They're a lot happier. Maybe the reason you're unhappy with us is because you're spending way too much time in your big metal box with the four wheels on it and not getting enough time out in the fresh air and riding your bike. So anybody who's highly critical about cyclists without taking a look at it from our perspective, that's my shout out today. That's my rant of the week. That's, I thought, a really good way to end the year as far as 2017 went. I just wanted to make sure that if you were critical about this, or if you know someone who is, and hey, this is that time, you know, it's the holidays, and you have relatives, and you have family members or friends that you're getting together with, so you're certainly going to run into someone out there, if you are a cyclist, that has some sort of an ill comment to make about a cyclist. So this is the time to say, hey, why don't you come ride your bike with me? Let's talk about this. Let me show you what my side of the world is like. And, you know, be an ambassador, do the good thing. So my rant of the week is against the highly critical people about cyclists. We're going to move things around here a little bit. On the positive side, is going to get moved to the end of the show this week on the show. I have decided just to change the format around for the year-end show, and we'll get back to that in a minute. But or actually in about 60 minutes, and we can talk about that. The maintenance minute, big shout out to Chuck out in Tolland who brought this up, and we have kept the maintenance minute ever since. We really appreciate that input. We got an input from one of our listeners who thought that it would be good to have more discussion about bicycle maintenance and things that you can do that are good tips for cycling. And so we've kept this going. And my maintenance minute this week is preparing the bicycle for storage for the winter months. Yeah, we have winter here, and I know I have people out in California and Arizona and all the nice warm places down in Florida. I know you all listen to me. You go, winter? Winter? What's winter? And I get that. I understand. But, you know, I'm up here in the cold zone, and we are dealing with the snow belt. We are dealing with snow on our ground right now, which is always a challenge and makes it a lot more interesting to ride your bicycle this time of year, although there are a number of people that do. But what I like to encourage people to do is if they have a bike that they're riding regularly during the nice warm weather and the nice season, and it is hanging on a hook, and because you're not going to be riding it right now, then this would be a good time to prepare the bike for storage in the winter months. I particularly like to hang my bicycle on a hook in the garage, or in, if you have another place that's even warmer and friendlier for your bike, then good for you. But we just hang them up by the wheels. It does no damage to the bike whatsoever. I usually like to go over the bike and inflate the tires before hanging it up there, so they've got a good amount of air in them, and then you can just hang it there and let it go. Now, what I'd really encourage, though, and I encouraged this when I owned the bicycle shop that I had for 15 years, I really encourage you to completely overhaul and inspect your bicycle and look it all over before you hang it up on that hook, so that when the next good day comes, or good spring day, or the day that you finally decide that you're going to take it out and you're not going to worry about the roads and the bike getting dirty or messy or whatever, that your bike is ready to go and all you really need to do is top off the tires and go for a ride. So complete overhauling the bike is something that we did at the bike shop on a regular basis. If you are not comfortable with working on your bike that way, bring it down to your local bike shop. They've got a lot of time this time of year, and it because things are getting slow for them. So this is a great time. Their attention to detail can be much greater, and they can really help you out with that sort of thing. So, you know, you might consider that, but you can also do this on your own if you wish. So you want to, when I would completely overhaul a bike, the first thing I would do is I would just tear everything right down to the frame. I would start from the very beginning and work my way up from there. And so, anyway, that's something you might want to consider. When you do that, you're going to be removing cables. You're going to be possibly, removing and inspecting tires and tubes and making sure everything is okay. Really going over everything so that when you hop on your bike in the spring, there are no surprises. Another beauty of tearing the bicycle down to the frame is once you get to that point, you can really clean the frame really well, and you can then maybe put a coat of wax on, a little something to protect the finish on the bike, make it look real pretty, get it all dressed up real nicely. So, you might want to consider doing this, and, it's the winter hours. You've got some time to do it. You're not going to be really anxious to hop on that bike again right away, especially if it's like it is here today at, was 2 degrees when I woke up this morning. 2 degrees, yes. There were all two of them were out there, both the degrees. I saw them both. I felt them both. And
that is just not enough degrees.
It's just not right. It's just not right. 2 degrees is just not right.
On the other hand, I do like the fact that it's winter. I mean, people were complaining, oh, I can't believe it snowed, and it started snowing. It wasn't even winter yet. It was like December 9th or 10th or whenever it was. I was glad. I'm like, this is what's supposed to happen this time of year.
Here.
We're not supposed to have warm. It's not supposed to be warm. We're supposed to get freezes. The earth is supposed to go to sleep. It's supposed to get a break. We're supposed to get a break. The bugs are supposed to die or at least go dormant. You're going to have, if we have like a nice deep freeze and we have it for a while, we're going to have less Lyme disease next season, less mosquitoes. Those are good things. The earth is supposed to sleep for a while, and so are you.
Yeah, well, some of us don't sit still that well, and so it's harder for us to do that than others are. I mean, it's all up to you. This morning, my spin class, by the way, 5:45 in the morning. This is early. It's not exactly my type and time of day, but I'm there, and I'm teaching the class. It was full.
No.
Oh, yeah. I had two empty seats, and that was it. Everything
funny.
Else was just completely full.
That's incredible.
And then,
how exciting.
My extreme spin class is completely sold out.
That's great.
For all through the winter. And
oh, I can't
spring.
Wait.
So there's, people are already looking at, okay, I got to get inside and I got to focus on this. And I need somebody that can motivate me and kick me a little bit in the butt. And I am the professional butt kicker.
People are doing those challenges. Maybe you can address this. How do you feel about those challenges? Where people do, they do like progressively more and more crunches and squats and push-ups and
hold that thought. Let me just finish up with the winter bike situation here, and we're gonna come back to that if you don't mind, Fran.
I don't mind.
Okay. So anyway, prepare that bike for the spring. The other thing I really like to do when I do that is I like to put a fresh handlebar tape on the bars, something with a lot of cush to it. You know, something. I'm particularly fond of the old-fashioned Chinelli cork tape, which is it's actually cork material, and it's really nice on your hands, and I like it. If it gets wet, you don't slip on it. It's kind of nice, but you know, everybody has their thing. There's a lot of synthetics out there that people are really into, and you know, put yourself a nice new batch of handlebar tape on your road bike, or if it's a mountain bike, then you know, get a new set of grips so you've got a nice new feel to it. You'll be happier. Trust me, you really will be happier. So the maintenance minute is to prepare your bike for winter storage in the winter months and get it ready for spring. And then the other thing that I also highly encourage is if you still are planning on riding through the winter, you need a beater bike. You need a winter bicycle that is one that you're not worried about getting all messy and, you know, the sand and snow and salt and all that we throw all over our roads around here in the Northeast. You don't worry about it affecting that. So it's nice to have a second bike that's maybe something that is not your, you don't have a lot invested in it other than the fact that it can get you around. Some people will use an old mountain bike for this. Some people will use an old road bike that they may have had for many years, but they still have kind of an emotional attachment to it, but they can still use it in the off months, and they use it as a beater bike. And then a number of us we use cyclocross bikes because it's a perfect winter beater bike because it's kind of meant for that. It's meant for dealing with the crud and the off-road and, you know, the mud and everything that flies around.
Or your favorite category, the gravel grinder.
The gravel grinder, yes. The redefined cyclocross bike, now known as the gravel grinder. And it is a different bike, I'll give you that. But it's really just kind of a, you know, updated, down-dated, updated, I don't know what you want to call it, cross bike. But that's from the cyclocross purist in here that you're listening to. Peddlin' Ron is a cross guy.
And don't forget the fat bike.
And then your fat bike. That's a great one. You know, more of my friends are getting into fat bikes. They're discovering that when there's, you know, 3, 4, 5 inches of snow on the ground, you can still ride the fat bike. You can still get out there and ride it. And I'm telling you, you know, my friend John, he hasn't looked at his other mountain bike since he got his fat bike. He just hasn't looked back.
Are we getting fat bikes?
I don't know. Maybe we will. Maybe we won't. I'm not sure. I'm kind of allergic to the cold. I do not like to be out in that really, really cold weather.
Maybe I should get a fat bike.
You can do whatever you wish. That's fine. That's fine. And, you know, the other thing about riding in the really cold weather, too, a lot of people take their clipless pedals off their bikes and just put a pair of flat pedals on. And then they can wear a heavy insulated boot and still be able to keep their feet warm. So there's ways around it. There's also some really cool winter cycling booties. I mean, there's people that ride all year round, and they're not having a problem with it. And if you do, a very, very big tip of the cycling cap to you for doing that sort of thing. That's a good thing. So anyway, we were going to go back to something, Fran. You were talking about something.
So this time of year, in the exercise world, there's a lot of challenges that come out. So there are challenges where you work up, for example, to 100 squats. You work up to 100 crunches. You work up to, getting to do 100, I don't know about 100, but, you know, 20, 30, 40 push-ups. You progressively, like, lots and lots of push-ups all in a row. And then you work up to doing, let me see. So it's usually push-ups, crunches, squats, and there was one more thing.
You were talking like core work then.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, core work is good in the wintertime. That's something else to work on if you're not riding your bike as much and work on your
planks.
Core.
And working up to 5-minute planks.
Yeah. Work on your core. That's a good thing. That's another thing. So you not only are you hanging your bike up, you're kind of hanging up the idea of really riding the bike and maybe working up some other things on your body because, you're doing such a ride-specific sport or a sport-specific exercise, I should say, that maybe it's time to try something a little different.
Well, I do a little bit of core all year.
You do.
Yeah.
You are one of the most dedicated people I know to that sort of thing. You're really, really good about, you know, spreading it out and having a couple days that you do core. And
I do a little half-hour workout twice a week, and I rarely miss.
Yep.
Yeah, all year.
Yeah. No, yeah. You're good about it. You really are.
And 15 minutes of that workout is core.
Yeah. I'm not that dedicated. But, you know, I have other things that I'm doing. I'm teaching a lot of classes in the wintertime. So, you know, I'm very active. But, you know, it's everybody's got their thing. So if you can find something that's different. You know, I was just talking about this to someone the other day over at the community center. And I was mentioning that I used to spend a lot of time at the UConn ice rink. Because it's such a great, it's a great complementary sport to cycling, because you load and release on your quads, you load and release on your glutes, you're using a lot of the specific muscles that you're using for cycling. And you do the same thing with cross-country skiing. There's a lot of load and release, and it's really good, and it's a very good aerobic exercise too. So, you know, maybe trying something different there, that's good too. But anyway, that kind of takes us off of the maintenance minute discussion. But I did want to make sure that, you know, you think about preparing your bike for the winter months, which really prepares your bike for the spring and summer months. So, and hopefully you'll have a really nice winter, and we'll get an early spring, and we'll be back out on the roads again and off on the trails again as soon as things start to warm up and look good here. But 2 degrees is 2 degrees. There's no way around it. That's what it is. Before I go to my 2017 recap, I am going to cover a couple of other things. Chris Froome is in the news again, and he's been here for a while because there was an asthma drug that he was taking at the Vuelta, and he had an excessive level of it, double the appropriate amount apparently. And so they're still doing this. They're still talking about it. They still have not come up with a conclusion yet as to whether or not they're going to penalize him in any way on this. This is a tough situation, and he's likely to be stripped of his Vuelta title by the Cycling League's governing body, the UCI, and he would be given a ban from the sport for up to 12 months. Which is crazy. Well, it is and it isn't. I guess, you know, I look at this and I say, hey, you know, people have problems with their you know, breathing, and I don't see this as much of a problem. I know that there's other people that have other medical issues that they have to address, but yet they're high-level cyclists and athletes, so they need something to keep them to get them to the point where they continue to compete and to do what they need to do. And so there's a point where do we draw the line here? Where does it come out that we say, look, you know, you can't do anything at all? Or do we just go with going against the people that are taking performance-enhancing drugs like EPO, or the ones that are blood doping or doing something like that? You know, those seem like they're a lot more severe to me than what Chris has done. But, you know, Chris is in the news, and Team Sky is in the news. There's a lot of talk about Team Sky these days. There's talk that goes all the way back. It goes all the way back to the Tour de France, and, you know, what Team Sky was doing there. They're talking about the possibility. Greg LeMond had a little piece here about the mechanical doping thing, and that's kind of a crazy thing too. Yeah, there's the time trial bikes that they were using in the Tour were a little heavier than all the other bikes that were out there, so there was a question as to whether or not they were using one of those hidden motors in the seat tube of the bike to help them go faster in the team time trial. It's just a crazy, there's lots of things out there. Even, our old friend, Mr. Lance Armstrong, says Froome will be tarnished forever by test result. You know, and he spoke about this on his podcast. Disgraced Armstrong criticizes the media for the problems that they're pushing on to Froome and Team Sky, and he said he was frustrated that the test was leaked. So where do you go with that? I don't know. You know, it's there's a point where it seems like cycling is really scrutinized a lot more so than some of the other sports out there. We want to pick on sports. Let's pick on some of the other very, very popular sports. There's a lot of things that go on in sport, which I'm not necessarily saying it's right, but it's driven by the money that is behind the sport. And the money that's behind the sport is driven by those of us who like to watch the sport. So where do you draw the line? You know, that's a good discussion. You have something you want to say about it? Email me at bicycletalk, @gmail.com, or visit my Facebook page, Bicycle Talk, and make a comment on it, because I'd love to hear what you have to say about it, how you feel about it. I love the sport. I still love watching the sport. I think it's a great thing, and I'm going to continue to promote it and watch it and stay on top of it, because I think it's a good thing. But, you know, this is it's almost getting a little too picky. You can't do anything these days without being accused of cheating or doing something wrong. Certain areas, yeah, you know, it's true. You know, the Lance Armstrong thing was a big deal. That was a very, very big deal. And, you know, because that was going on for years, and it was more of a racketeering thing than a cheating thing. I mean, it was just, if you ever get a chance to read Tyler Hamilton's book, oh, God, The Secret Race or Beyond the Secret Race, I can't remember exactly what the name of the book is, but it's great. It's great. It just really gives you an eye-opening to what goes on in the world of professional sport. So that's kind of a cool thing. So now we're going to go back, and I think I've kind of covered enough of that for now. I would like to talk a little bit more about the year 2017. This episode, this podcast, is going to be number 80 for me, which is really cool. And I thank my partner here and my co-host, Fran Storch, for everything she has done to get me to this point right here. I never would have done this without her. And I do appreciate everything that she has done for me to make this happen. We have a lot of listeners of Bicycle Talk. I'm quite surprised at how many people are paying attention to this. And I have people all over the country and all over the world now listening, which is really
especially
cool.
Especially with all the forethought, which, I mean, we were thinking about you doing a show for months and months and months before we gave you the show.
Right.
Okay, let's make them. Maybe that's not true. It was minutes and minutes and
it
minutes.
It was minutes. She called me up, or you texted me or something, and said, oh, by the way, you're on the air at 11.
You have a new show. It's called Bicycle Talk.
Yeah, and you're on the air at 11. Yep. And that was 2 hours away from when I was on. And that's when I brought my good friend Ken on, because he happened to call in all excited that I was having a show, and he ended up becoming the show that day, which was very fun. That was a good time. It was a really, really good time. So we moved on from there, and we started out the year. Actually, this is kind of the end of the year, but I put it in here anyway at Bicycle Talk episode 30, which we had an interview with Adina Gianelli, who is the executive director of Bike Walk Connecticut, talking about the future of cycling in Connecticut. And that was also a door opener for me to start talking about Cyclocross Nationals, which brought us to the next episode. And that was the Nationals were happening at that time. I've been looking through some of my old videos. I'm going to be posting some of them on a YouTube video page that Bicycle Talk is now going to have. And that's in the future. And there's just some great, great stuff there. Really, really fun, fun videos, fun information. And I will probably be bringing some of Ron's rants in on that one too. But anyway, I brought an old friend on, Aaron Offsiani, and he is a listener out in California, because he lives in San Francisco now. He's been there for 19 years, I believe, maybe 20 by now. And actually his mom, who lives right here, Ellen Lang, came on, and we got to talk to him about the Hartford Cyclocross National Championship races, and he was involved in the one with the big mudslide. So we had a really good time. So we started our year off talking about a lot of cyclocross, and cyclocross nationals were huge. It was the first time it's ever been in Hartford. It was, you know, it's we don't get a lot of national events here in New England. That was a big deal. And it went over extremely well. We could not have asked for better weather or as they like to say, terrible conditions make for great cyclocross. And we had different conditions every single day, turned into a real nice thing. And it was nice because we could talk about it a little bit more on Bicycle Talk. And I got a lot of comments about that. We, again, we worked our way through and we talked a lot about, and we'll continue to talk a lot about what you do when it snows out and working out indoors and the different ideas that you can use to keep yourself motivated before the weather breaks. And lots and lots and lots of discussions. I'm looking at different episodes that I did here, and it just seems like we always came back to the same thing. We were always talking about bicycles and cars and trucks, pedestrians and bicycles and cars and trucks. And this discussion appears more than it probably should, but it's going to continue to appear until things start getting better here. And I'm going to stay on top of this, and I hope that our legislators will stay on top of this too. We need to do something to work on our infrastructure here in the United States. There are other countries that are doing a bang-up job with it. There's plenty of formats out there that we can take a look at, that we can learn from. And, a lot of discussions about pedestrians, bikes, cars, and trucks. And the lack of... I don't know, the compatibility on the road and the feeling that one is more superior than the other. And that has to stop from both ends. It totally does. So we had a lot of discussion about that. It went on for a while. We had some really cool episodes. We had one where my friend Tyler Wren, who has a Farm to Fork Fondo, really cool event, Grand Fondo series in the summer, he came on and we talked to him. But we really talked to him about his bicycle racing because he was a professional bicycle racer. He raced mountain bicycles, and then he went on. He raced on the road, and he was involved with collegiate bike racing for Princeton University, and he rode with Team Colavita. And so anyway, that was a really neat show. And, of course, that led me to becoming the MC for the Farm to Fork Fondo series, which I will be doing, it looks like, again this year. For 2018. So I'm pretty excited by that. One of the highlight shows, which I feel it was a highlight show. Well, there were a few of them, but one was we had Bicycle Talk episode 42. We had an interview with a woman by the name of Melinda Barnes, who is the executive director of Montana Bike Walk. And I also had quotes from Senator Scott Sayles. And it was all about Montana bicycle law and the fight that is going on in Montana about sharing the roads. And Senator Sayles is very outspoken about how he feels about bicycles. And he gained a lot of national attention because of it. And it turned into a fun time. And since then, I have an actual update on the Montana bike fee amendment. See, Senator Sayles has thrown things out there that the other senators and other people in legislation in the state of Montana kind of look at it like a joke. I've read a few things about it. Oh, he was just a joke. He was just kidding. Well, it's not just kidding when it shows up in a discussed amendment to a law. And that's no longer a joke. That's the real deal. And you need to, and Senator Sayles and others that are out there need to be a little more careful about how they feel, because as he said, he had no idea how vocal people who ride bicycles can be until he made his statements. It went national. It was all, it was in the public, the national media scene. It came out there. But then after he fought the 3-foot law in the state of Montana and won the 3-foot law in Montana, and I'm talking about one meaning it didn't pass, because he lobbied against it. He doesn't want to give the cyclists 3 feet. He doesn't want to share the road with cyclists. So Senator Scott Sayles became just a prime target of bicycle talk. We love that. You know, bring it on. Please, please bring it on. I love to discuss these things because they need to be brought to light. We need to talk about it. We need to hear about it. We need to come up with conclusions and solutions for problems like this. So the bill language on this was, it would have required non-resident bike riders who visit Montana to pay $25 for a non-resident invasive species bicycle decal. Invasive species, for real. It was connected to another bill for invasive species, and that somehow he tied it all in there, and he put the bicycle people on there in that particular in that particular legislation. So the provision associating visiting bike riders with invasive species is just the latest in an odd sequence of events surrounding bike legislation in Big Sky Country. And the real story behind the senator who introduced this amendment began, and it says here, nearly a month ago. Well, here's what happened. It didn't pass. All right. So you're not going to have to pay $25 to ride in the state of Montana, because it got thrown out. They didn't pass it, and they had to make some changes. And both the bills, the first one was Bill LC-2196. It would prohibit bike riders from traveling on a road that does not have a shoulder. That was taken out. And also Bill HB-512 would require any bicycle on a roadway to be equipped with a fluorescent orange flag that stands at least 5 feet above the ground. They both died quickly. So fortunately, those things went away. Fortunately, you will not be paying $25. But I'd like to think that maybe Bicycle Talk and other medias out there that brought this discussion out, I'll give a big shout out to Velo News. I'll give a big shout out to Bicycling Magazine. I will give a big shout out to USA Cycling. They were all very, very vocal about this. And because of we will not be paying the ridiculous $25 tax in order to ride our bicycles in Montana. So anyway, that was a highlight. We kind of had a lot of fun with that. We went back and forth. I actually got a chance to talk personally with Senator Sayles. He was very open to talking with me, very open to leaving quotes. So that was episode 42. We had a good time with it. It was really good. And I hope we have helped our good friend out there at Bike Walk Montana. And she is reaping the benefits of those of us in the rest of the world that are paying attention to what is going on in her state. So big shout out to Melinda Barnes. Thank you so much for being on the show. I do really appreciate that. We had other episodes where we have many local people here who are interesting to talk to. And we had a local business person. His name is Scott Livingston, and he owns an engineering firm, and they make this really cool bicycle thing now. They make a specialty cleat for cyclocross, because he's into it, and so does a lot of his staff. He has a number of people that work at that operation that are all cyclists. And I don't know if it's a prerequisite to working there, but I do notice that there's a bit of a trend that a lot of people I know who work for them, they're cyclists. So there's certainly a happy part on that one. And we talked about our local things. We had a Happy Kids on Bikes, a safe cycling at our local Goodwin Elementary School during Bike Month. We talked a lot about May being Bike Month and the things that were going on, and riding your bike to work, National Ride to Work Day, lots of really cool stuff. I brought in an old friend, Matt Feiner from New Haven, who I term him as. He owns a bicycle shop called the Devil's Gear Bike Shop in New Haven. And I just brought him in to talk about cycling in New Haven, because there's just so much great stuff going on in New Haven. I refer to Matt as the mayor of cycling in New Haven, because he is so connected to the cycling community and does a lot of really good things there. And I hope he also does good things in general. Unfortunately, there was a fire next door to his bicycle shop, and he was, I won't say unfortunately, because he was the first responder to it and ended up saving some people in the building, and he ended up not doing such a good thing for his health because of it. So we're reaching out to Matt and saying, gee, Matt, I hope you're feeling better. I did see him at the annual bike walk, Connecticut bike walk dinner. So, and he said he was feeling better, but he definitely had some damage because he was one of those people who takes care of other people and is just generally a good guy. So we had him on the show, and that was a fun time. We definitely had some interesting things happen during that show, and it was fun. We had a good time. I talked to a number of different people that are local here. We have local advocates in the area. We have Bike Mansfield, which is working on, or has worked on, making Mansfield, Connecticut, one of the bike-friendly towns in the country, which is a good thing. It's kind of an exclusive thing, and it's not, there aren't that many, and now Mansfield is part of that. And we investigated some other various things out there of, you know, different cyclists that had run into different problems along the way. We there was a sad day when a 21-year-old Chad Young died in a crash at the Tour Aguila, which is unfortunate. But, you know, that's bike racing. It happens. But anyway, I talked about the Ride of Silence, which is a ride that honors those who have been killed while riding a bicycle. And I actually participated in a Ride of Silence, which was in West Hartford, Connecticut, I believe. And there were probably about 60 or 70 of us that showed up and rode in complete silence in honor of those who have fallen while riding their bicycles, and fallen in a way where they've had, you know, altercations with motorized vehicles, which are not so easy on a bicycle. We had a couple of episodes where I was not able to be here, and Fran, my lovely co-host, stepped in and talked to our friend Sylvia, who is involved with Bolton Bike Walk, and talked about the Rolling Museum ride, which was a really cool ride. That was a fun one to do, wasn't it, Fran? You have a good time on that one? That was a pretty neat thing. And they did it on the Hop River Trail, which is one of our trails out here in the northeastern part of Connecticut, and it was a historical ride, and we stopped along the way and heard all about all these different cool things that were happening within history of the area and how the rail line was connected to it. And now that rail line is a multi-use trail, so that was really a cool thing. Just so many great things that happened. Our good friends from Nearac Earth promote a couple of different events. So if you are looking for places to ride your bike in a really, really beautiful part of Connecticut, I know people think Connecticut and they go, Connecticut, isn't that part of New York? I hear that all the time. And it's like, well, there's a section of Connecticut that could be construed as part of New York. That's a possibility. But when you get up here in our little quiet corner, as it is called by the tourism board, things get a lot nicer up here. And as far as cycling goes, it's tailored to cycling. So, again, we have some clubs in the area. We have Nearac Earth. We have the Thread City Cyclers. We have the Quinebaug Valley Wheelmen. They're all clubs that are in the northeastern corner of the state, and they are all into promoting cycling and promoting cycling events. And Nearac Earth actually put on the very first gravel grinder ride in this area. Or I'm not going to say the very first, because there's a very under the radar ride that is done by my old friend Salem Mazaway, and he calls it the Detour, and it involves a lot of dirt roads. It involves a lot of the rail trails. It's a very long ride. And like I said, it's under the radar, although someone said he's starting to bring it out from under the radar, so more people are learning about it. But so it may be that NEARAC Earth is actually going to be second on the list as far as gravel grinders go. But still, encouragement for them to continue doing this. It was a great ride. It's great to go on a ride where I didn't have to lead it, and I could actually ride on the ride. It was really fun. And I rode my, not gravel grinder, my cyclocross bike with a little fatter tire on it, and it was just fine for that event. So it was a lot of fun. So more and more history along the way here. We talked to a number of people about different things that are going on in the area. We had the Tour de France during the middle of all this. The Tour de France and the big controversy, the Cavendish and Sagan controversy. Remember the big sprint and the elbow that went out and all that? And of course I got all up in arms about it and was certain that, you know, Peter Sagan had done something terrible because I saw that elbow go out. And then I, being honorable about it, I brought back the next week and said I was wrong. I was definitely wrong, because as you looked at the tape slower and slower, you come to realize that he had actually raised his elbow so he wouldn't get hit as Cavendish was going down. And I think it was eventually, even though he was thrown out of the Tour de France for that, it eventually came back that they excused it and said that he, you know, they shouldn't have done that. They made a mistake and they shouldn't have done that. Peter Sagan goes on, and what does he do? But he wins the World Championships to redeem himself. Not that he really needed to redeem himself, but it was a wonderful thing. And we talked a little about that, too. So there's all sorts of great things that happened in cycling through 2017. Lots of really interesting things. I had a lovely talk with my co-host, Fran. We were answering a survey. And we, it was a survey that was put out by our friends at Bicycling Magazine, and it was a questionnaire one, and we got into a discussion on this particular episode where I was asking, you know, there were four possible answers, and Fran didn't like any of them, so we got into this discussion, and it became a humorous episode, and I get a lot of notes on it. People say, oh my God, I just listened to that episode that you and Fran had with the survey. That was hysterical. I can't believe you guys were like an old married couple on the radio. I guess we are, aren't we?
Surveys are dumb.
She's still licking her wounds from that one.
Well, the thing is, they give you these four answers, and they're all wrong, and you have to jam yourself into one, and it doesn't make sense, and then you get an inadequate response.
And
why don't they have write-ins?
Yep, there you go. There you go. Because it's a survey, and they're using the answers to come up with their answer as to whether or not you were a bicycle snob.
You have to have
because that's what it was all about.
You have to have a more sophisticated algorithm.
No.
So that you can put in that you can have write-in answers.
Well, the next survey we do, I think Fran is going to make up, and we'll have proper answers, and then we'll go over that on the air. And I think we should do that in the future. But it did make for a lot of fun. I got a lot of comments on it. People were amused by it. So it's definitely a good thing. We had some discussions about, you know, what wattage is all about on the bike and why and whether it matters or not. We had an episode 59. We talked about bicycle ambassadors, talked about e-bikes and Fran's journey through cycling, winning the group ride and creating community through cycling. That would have been episode 59.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know, is that one that you did on your own?
Probably.
That was probably one you did on your own. So, Fran, of course, is very well-versed in cycling. She rides her bike more than I do. She's got a lot of background here, and she has a lot of great input. So I always feel very confident when I hand the keys over to Fran and let her take over Bicycle Talk, because she does a great, great job.
I'm going to ride indoors today.
You're going to ride
for entirely too long.
I did that this morning.
I'm going to find out how much it costs to get a fat bike.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You want to be outside at 2 degrees? Do you really want to be riding outside at 2 degrees?
I'm going to go ride indoors for a couple hours today.
There's something about, so one thing that Pedalin' Ron, the Bicycle Talk guy, has is I have a list of Ron's rules. And, you know, some of them are humorous. Some of them are probably a little too stiff for some people to handle. But one of my rules is if it takes you longer or the same amount of time to get yourself dressed, to go out and ride your bike because of the cold, cold weather. And then when you get back and you get done, undress, clean the clothes, clean the bikes off because they've been made a mess. If it takes longer than it did to ride the bike, then don't ride it outside. Don't do it. Don't do it. Unless you have to. Unless it is, if it is your commuting vehicle and it's how you get around and that's what you use, that's fine. I get it. But it just, if you're doing it for a recreational purpose, for a fitness purpose, ride your bike inside. And there's a lot of great ways you can do it.
Well, some people don't have access to those.
I understand.
And don't mind riding in the cold.
And that's good. That's great. And again, a big, big tip of the cycling cap to those who can do that. But I'm just not one of those. I really like to be warm. I really enjoy it. And if I can sit on a bicycle indoors for an hour with a bunch of people who are like-minded, who are there to get the workout and enjoy it because of that, and I'm sweating instead of freezing, I'll go with that.
Well, that's part of the nice thing about indoor training, especially group indoor training, that there's a camaraderie that happens in that is different from riding in a group ride on the road, because nobody gets dropped.
Right.
The only thing that can happen is if you are in a group ride and there's a screen and you can see everybody's wattage.
Yeah.
Competition ensues.
Well, it could. Yes,
it does,
and it
been
does,
there.
And it does, and another thing is, you know, I have often talked about another interesting thing to do, and that is to have the no electronics ride. So I would show up to a ride that I would lead, and I would bring duct tape, and I would put it over everyone's screens, and you know, you can look at it afterwards. I don't care, I really don't. But while we're riding, we're just gonna go ride our bikes. How about a no electronics, no device ride? How about that?
Yeah.
Maybe we should just put one of those on. Just have it be that we're doing a no device ride. I don't care what you do. I don't care what your results are. I don't want you to use anything during the ride. Let's go back to just riding our bikes again. What do you think of that? Well, we're going to have to talk about that in the future, even as a rantable point. That might be a total rantable point.
Is that a word, rantable? It
just became one.
Oh, boy.
We can put it in Wikipedia, and then it will be a real word. So, here's a highlight from 2017. Saul Nesselroth, episode 60. Saul turned 90 years old, still riding his bike.
Yeah.
Still at it. We all rode with him. We had a nice ride where actually Saul, this is a raw deal. Saul bought us all ice cream. And we all met at an ice cream place, and Saul went around and he bought us all ice cream to join him on his 90th birthday for the Saul ride. He then went on with a number of people from our local club and rode 90 kilometers for his 90th birthday.
Yes.
So how cool is that? You can ride your bike when you're 90. You can do this. The bicycle is a very forgiving machine. It'll carry you all the way to the very end. You can ride your bicycle. It's a lovely, lovely thing. So that was a neat little episode that we did about that. Politics and bicycle talk. Politics come up a lot. We had the issue with Senator Sayles. We've had other issues out there as far as politics go. And kind of the fact that, you know, we're not pumping enough money into infrastructure rebuild and all. But episode 62, no more White House bike share. I have to say that was just a bad idea. And we did have a little discussion about that. It was, I believe, a rant that I had about the fact that the current administration in the White House decided that the bike share program, you know, those lovely little bikes that you can, you know, you get a little fob for it and you can go out and you can ride from one place to another place. They removed them when our current administration came in. And, you know, that's a problem.
Well, our current administration doesn't exercise.
Well, our current administration loves oil and cars and trucks and pollution. Our current administration is not as kind and friendly as others have been in the past.
And eating fast food.
We won't even get into the 12 cans of Diet Coke, which we found out is actually not a problem as much as we thought.
Well,
it was.
I wouldn't necessarily say that it's not a problem. What I figured out is that the LD50, which is the dose that will kill 50% of your sample of organisms, for the LD50 for aspartame, which is the brand name, which is the generic name of NutraSweet, which mm-hmm. is what's in diet, one of the sweeteners that's in Diet Coke, the LD50 is 50 milligrams per kilogram. And so you told me that Donald Trump drinks, 12 cans of Diet Coke a day?
A day, yeah.
Right. So I assuming that Donald Trump weighs 250 pounds, I was estimating that because I read somewhere, I found that the one number estimated at 236 pounds, so I rounded up. Yeah. So
people lie about their weight.
Yeah. So I figured 250 was a reasonable number to use. And yeah. So if the LD50 is 50 milligrams per kilogram, he was only drinking 31 milligrams per kilogram at 12 sodas. But he's not far off. If he drank another six, then he'd be there.
Right.
But I think there can be problems with, people who have problems with aspartame are probably not necessarily drinking 12 cans. He could be having some issues with the components of aspartame that could lead to his issues with his judgment.
We need to bring this up on another show,
okay.
I think. This is a good discussion for another show because there's some merit to this, and
yeah.
I think we should talk about it for sure.
All right.
Finishing up the year, we did have our lovely Steeplechase bike tour back in August. Lots of people came out to that. You get to see the beautiful roads of northeastern Connecticut. It's a wonderful charity ride. We had members of the board on the air with us. That was a lot of fun. And then we moved directly into good old cyclocross season, which I am very passionate about. And I am the promoter of both the Hartford Cross Race and also the Mansfield Hollow Cross Race. And then, of course, there was the Connecticut Series, which is 8 races long. So it was a really cool thing. That kind of brought us more towards the end of our year. And I brought in an episode on bicycle shop etiquette. And I got a lot of reactions on that one, too, about how bicycle shops are, people are mistreating their bicycle shops and bicycle shops are mistreating their customers. So we had a lot of discussion on that and a lot of talk online. The year has been very interesting. We've had a lot of good stuff going on. We finished off with talk about negativity towards e-bikes, which I am totally against. I think it's really wonderful. I think e-bikes are a really nice answer. We also had an episode where I brought on a TED Talk discussion about Mikhail Colville Anderson's view on why helmets aren't needed. Boy, did that strike a bunch. So anyway, we are going to wrap this up. We are coming towards the end. I did say that I would have the positive side move to the end of the show. And I just would like to reflect on all of the people who supported Bicycle Talk in 2017 and the positive aspect and impact of cycling upon myself and upon the people who are passionate about it. Big, big shout out to you. Big tip of the cycling cap on that. Thank you so much for helping us make Bicycle Talk as successful as it has been. My name is Pedalin' Ron, and you have been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch. A show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. You can send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com, and you can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or on iTunes. If you would like to contribute to or be on the show as a guest, please contact me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS, Storrs. Thanks for listening.